Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Well, shalom, brothers and sisters. We continue our series on the Holy Spirit from the Gospel of Luke. And the title given to me is, The Spirit Will Teach You What to Speak. And taken from Luke chapter 12. Verses 11 and 12. Why don't we recite these two verses together, shall we? And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, enlighten us as we open our hearts and our minds to embrace this promise of yours that the Holy Spirit will teach us what to say in that very moment we need Him. And we boldly ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that moment what to speak. And when Jesus made this promise, He had in His mind the tense and dangerous moments when His disciples are brought before the authorities. They are told of the charges filed against them, and they are given the opportunity to speak and to defend themselves. What will they say? Our Lord knows that His disciples are anxious and fearful about what they will say. And Jesus promised to help. In that moment, in that very hour, the Holy Spirit will teach you what you ought to say. Therefore, do not be anxious beforehand, says Jesus. You know, coming before the authorities is an universal fear, because the balance of power lies in the hands of the authorities. Just think of your anxiety and fear being tax investigated, being questioned in court, or being stopped by a policeman. What do I say? To be summoned before the authorities for our faith as a follower of Christ is a highly stressed and fearful experience. I had been summoned by the authorities. I'm a director of Wawasan Penabur, which is a ministry which publishes and distributes Bahasa Children Bibles. And our project, Satu Anak Satu Alkitab, which is One Child, One Bible, it's a mammoth project. And to date, we have distributed 500,000 copies. And every time we do a print, it goes up to 30,000 copies in one go. A worker in the printing company filed a complaint to the authorities, and the authorities visited our office and then summoned us to appear before them. And I can tell you, the anxiety and fear is very intense and very real. Today, we are still printing some 20,000 Alkitabs every year, together with many other Bahasa books, including apologetics. And we may well be summoned again. Am I anxious? Yes. But these anxious thoughts, they come and they go, and they no longer stress me like before. So today, this is roughly the flow of my sermon. I want to give you a little bit of background to Luke chapter 12, leading to verse 11 and 12, to provide some context, and then show you some information on persecution in the world, and Malaysia too, and where does Malaysia as a country rank in comparison to others. I want to touch a little bit about how the Spirit speaks to us, and then we will look at a couple of examples from the Bible, and I will give you some application, three of them. And if the Holy Spirit convicts you to just apply one of them, my objective for this sermon is achieved. And then we will stand up again and we will sing with gusto the song we sang earlier, I Am Not Ashamed of the Gospel. That's my flow. Okay, the background to Luke chapter 12, 1 to 12. In the first 10 verses, there will be three sections. Let me quickly take you through them. Yeah. The first is verses 1 to 3. Beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Jesus was a well-known teacher by then. He is well-liked by many and disliked by the religious authorities. And he warned his disciples about the danger of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy, he says, is like leaven. And it only takes a tiny bit to affect a great mass. Hypocrisy is like a little bit of arsenic. And the temptation to hypocrisy is strongest to those who enjoy some measure of public success. And the disciples were growing in popularity, and therefore they needed to hear this warning. You know, the art of being a hypocrite, it depends on concealment. But one day, all will be revealed. We can be hypocrites before men, but never before God. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known, verse 2. And it is a stern warning to any of us here who live secret, ungodly lives. We may fool people, but can we fool God? Section 2, verse 4 to 7, have no fear. Disciples of Jesus must be ready to face persecution. Jesus knew at that time that he was going to die. He knew that his disciples, except John, would eventually die for him. This is a fearful prospect. And Jesus knew that the disciples needed to put fear into perspective and enjoy the same peace he had. Persecutors can kill only the body. And Jesus tells his disciples Don't fear them. Don't fear them. Don't fear man. Instead, fear God. For he has the power to kill and then cast into hell. You know, hell is eternal, fiery punishment, yeah? And in Revelation, it is called the lake of fire. History tells us that there are thousands of examples of persecuted believers who fear God instead of men. They are not ashamed of the gospel. They honor God, even unto imprisonment or death. And in the face of persecution, God does not abandon them. Jesus tells us that we are greatly valued by him, much more than the sparrow. Not one sparrow is forgotten before God. You know, there are few things worse than being forgotten. And God will not forget you. Even your very hairs in your head are numbered. Bald people has no hair, huh? And in times of severe tests of our faith, we may be tempted into thinking that we are alone, that we are worthless, and no one cares. But not God. He cares. Section 3, acknowledge Christ before men. Verses 8 to 10 talks about the importance of confession before men. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before the angels of God, says Jesus. But for those who deny Christ before men, they will be disgraced before the throne of God. This is a terrible penalty. Notice, it is to deny Christ before men, not deny Christ in your heart or in your mind. It is before men. And Jesus places a great importance on public declaration of allegiance to him. And the test of public declaration may come in many ways and in many occasions. And Jesus tells us to stand up for God, but he also offers you a choice. Acknowledge me or deny me. Verse 10 is a troublesome verse for some people. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, that is Jesus, will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. You know, in some countries, blasphemy, which is to speak irreverently, disrespectfully, or profanity against a religion, is a crime punishable by imprisonment or death. We know that. But our God is a forgiving God, full of mercy and compassion. And we read that his forgiveness is limitless, abundant, and total. As far as east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Psalm 103:12. How then do we understand this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will not be forgiven? Well, I like this explanation, which is taken from God Question website. I use it quite often. And there it writes, "The unpardonable sin today is the state of continued unbelief. The Spirit currently convicts the unsaved world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And to resist that conviction and willfully remain unrepentant is to blaspheme the Spirit. There is no pardon, either in this age or in the age to come, for a person who rejects the Spirit's prompting to trust in Jesus Christ and then dies in unbelief. The love of God is evident, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And the choice is clear. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, and whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. What this says is that the person who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit is in a settled rejection of God's truth. And the way to not blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to receive Jesus Christ. It means to stop rejecting the conviction of the Holy Spirit in bringing us to Jesus. Well, for some of you, this GodQuestion.org is a useful website for quick, reliable biblical answers. You may like to take note of this website. Now to verse 11 and 12. Jesus knows. He knows we will be anxious when we are brought before the authorities. We are tongue-tied. What do we say or not say? The pressure is intense. And Jesus promised in that very, very moment, in that very hour, supernatural help will come. The Holy Spirit will teach us to speak. So important is this promise that Jesus repeated it twice elsewhere, in Mark 13, 11, and in Matthew 10, 19. Therefore, Jesus clearly wants us to remember this promise of His. And to the thousands of Christians being persecuted and brought before the authorities today, and to the millions in the years past, they experience the reality of these three verses. And these verses are a tremendous comfort to them. How extensive are Christians being persecuted? You know, a recent report to the UN says that almost 400 million Christians worldwide are facing persecution currently. Christians are the most persecuted religious community in the world. They are subjected to physical violence, subjugation, false detention, their properties confiscated, enslavement, false exile, and even murder because of their religious belief. And Open Doors publish a World Watch list every year, and they rank the countries where Christians face the most extreme persecution. And the most recent one is just recently released, 2026. So there's a little bit of a teaser question. What are the top three questions? Can you guess? Just guess in your mind. What are the top three countries? Afghanistan. The top three countries are North Korea, Somalia, and Yemen. How many of you got at least one correct? Okay, a few of you. Where is Malaysia ranked? Take a guess in your mind. You know, Open Doors published a dossier on Malaysia in January 2024. The report is over 40 pages. And I highly recommend that you read this report. You can download them for yourself from the internet. In 2024, Malaysia was ranked 49 on the world list. In 2026, they only published the first 50 countries because these are extreme or high persecution countries. Countries ranked between 41 to 60 are considered a very high persecution country. In 2026, we were above 50, yeah? So it doesn't appear on the 50 list, just slightly above. But Malaysia is a high persecution country. And one emerging trend is worrying, says the report, and that is violence. The adoption of Pastor Raymond Koh in 2017 by masked men in broad daylight is an example. And there were others. Pastor Joshua Helmi and his wife, Ruth Sitipur, an Indonesian, and the activist Amri Chikmat in Perlis in 2016. This book, Where is Pastor Raymond Koh? Well, you can get them. It's in Canaan Land. You can still get them in Canaan Land bookstore. And the disappearance of Pastor Koh has caught international attention. And BBC recently wrote an article on 27 of December 2025. He interviewed Susanna Liu, the wife, and the report gives an update on this case. You can also search and read it on the BBC website. The Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. And I'm sure this promise of Jesus was a comfort to Pastor Raymond. It is a comfort to us at Wawasan Penabo. We have a legitimate ministry to the Bahasa-speaking indigenous believers in Sabah and Sarawak and to the Orang Aslis here. But our legitimate ministry may be misunderstood by others, and that we may be called up by the authorities to answer any complaints or allegation against us. And we have anticipated this when we started the ministry. Therefore, we prepare ourselves for such an event. Few things we did. We appointed Bahasa leaders as directors and advisors, including a lawyer. And if we are asked to come before the authorities, we agree that only the Bahasa directors will meet them. Our registered office is in Sarawak. We keep meticulous record of our deliveries, showing them going to churches, Bahasa churches in East Malaysia and to the Orang Asli. At the meeting, of course, we pray, we get people to pray, and we depend on the Holy Spirit. And we were conscious of his guidance on what to say and what not to say, how to say. and we were able to address the allegation made against us. They wrote a report and filed it with their supervisor. A few months later, another department visited us. The first one was a state level, second one was a federal level. And all we told them was, go and ask the state level. They didn't bother us after that. Yeah. Will we be summoned again? I think the question must be yes. But these anxious thoughts no longer control our lives. Will we have the same effect we want? That the authorities would not hamper us, that they will not restrict our legitimate ministry? Of course, we want that. But it may not be so. Because the Bible tells us of the experience of Stephen. Stephen was brought before the religious leaders. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 10, we read, but they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And we know what happened to Stephen. They killed him rather than agreeing with him. The Holy Spirit will teach us what to speak. The Holy Spirit will honor God, but it is no guarantee of success with the authorities. I want to come to this section on how might the Spirit speak. Well, the Spirit will speak in many ways because we need to remember the Spirit blows where He wills. But we can definitely learn a few points from the Bible. The first one is that the Spirit will speak through the Word. And we see this from the supreme example of our Lord Jesus, of how the Spirit helped him in crisis. When Satan challenged him, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he was given the right word to reply. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And Jesus quoted scripture every time. And clearly, Jesus was not only full of the Holy Spirit, but also full of the written word of God. And this is how the Holy Spirit will teach us in that hour. The Spirit will call to mind the biblical truth that we already treasure in our hearts. The Spirit will help us with clarity, with conviction, with timing, and with situational discernment. That's the first point. Second point is, consider the lilies. Learn from God's word in addition to the scripture. The Holy Spirit will not only use the Bible, but He will use our knowledge of the world. You know, I learn a lot from the Bible, but I also learn a lot of spiritual lessons from my hobbies of gardening and fishing. I learn a lot of spiritual lessons in my profession, in finance and in risk management. At Wawasan Penabur, we discuss how to reduce the risk of not attracting the attention of the authorities. We maintain a low profile. We adhere strictly to the requirement in publication. And in our publication, you'll see a cross symbol and you see the words Penipitan Christian, a Christian publication or for Christian only. They are clearly stated on the front cover in Bahasa, and so on and so on and so on. And the Holy Spirit is always putting to use our experience of the Word and of the world together, whether we are before the authorities, during an interview, or witnessing on the street. And the third point I like to share is that be prepared, but not fearfully rehearsing it over and over in your mind. Be prepared. And this is what Peter was getting at when he said in 1 Peter chapter 3, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. And yet do it with gentleness and respect. Being prepared is not a contradiction of Jesus' instruction in Luke chapter 21:14, where he says not to meditate beforehand how to answer. Jesus is warning against fearful rehearsing, being anxious all the time about what to say, playing it over and over again. Very stressful situation. Over-preparation does not show trust in God, which is unhealthy. But we should prepare. Jesus says we should not be anxious. Not that we should be empty-headed. We should be free from fear, not free from truth. You know, at Wawasan Penabo, we do discuss and we develop a list of possible responses beforehand, and then we surrender them to God. Well, before I go to application, let me do a quick summary of what we have learned so far. The Holy Spirit is our helper. As we live our lives honoring our God, He knows that there will be testing times when we are asked to defend our faith in Him publicly, whether before the authorities at work or witnessing on the street. He knows we will be anxious as to what to say, and He tells us not to be anxious or fearful and trust in His promise. He promised that the Spirit will teach us what we ought to say in that very moment. The Spirit blows where He will. In that moment, the Spirit will call to mind the biblical truth we have already treasured in our hearts. And the Spirit will use our experience of the world. The Spirit helps us with clarity, conviction, timing, and situational discernment. Therefore, do not be anxious. Trust in Jesus. Let me close with three applications. And like I said, if you are able to take just one and apply it, I would be joyful, because my wife will tell you I spent many days preparing this sermon. Yeah. Number one, be steadfast in praying for the persecuted church. The Bible tells us to identify ourselves with the suffering of our brothers and sisters. We are to pray with deep sympathy for them. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since we are also in the body. You know, this church, we have been praying for the persecuted church worldwide, but I think we can do more. We can do more at CG level. We can do more at personal prayer time. And we can continue to pray earnestly for Malaysia. We can educate ourselves by reading the Open Door dossier on Malaysia. Be steadfast in your prayer for Pastor Raymond Koh's case, because this has tremendous implication for our country. As mentioned earlier, there's a CD class after this service on Cambodia. Make it a point, an intentional point, to attend this class and hear from yourself live testimony, of the Holy Spirit help from the examples of the Cambodian believers, our brothers and our sisters there. Well, that's the first point, pray. The second point is cultivate spiritual discipline in hearing God's voice. The Holy Spirit will speak, but what do you hear? The Holy Spirit speaks, but we need to listen. And the promise of Luke 12 applies to our daily life. When we share our faith, when we stand up for Jesus, when we face difficult conversation where God honor is at stake, the Spirit will give us the words to say in that hour. You know, we are living in the last days. And Paul wrote about these last days in this whole chapter in 2 Timothy chapter 3. The last days are godless days. People are corrupt, lovers of self and money. People are proud, arrogant, and so on and so on. And we live in a world that is openly hostile towards us. And when we want to live a life that is pleasing to God, we will be persecuted. We will. 1 Peter chapter 3:13. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. And we should not take for granted that the Holy Spirit will help us if we are not walking right with God. If our mind is open to habitual foolishness, to the flesh, and we are self-reliant, self-righteous, we should not take for granted. We live in a world with many voices that comes to us on TV, radio, the internet, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, text messages. We have the voices of family, friends, and colleagues. And sometimes we have the voice of Satan tempting us to disbelieve God's word. How do you hear the voice of God in the midst of the noise and distractions of life. Brothers and sisters, we need to cultivate a personal spiritual discipline in hearing the voice of God. Finally, my last point, do not commit the unpardonable sin. You know, every opportunity I have, I like to make an appeal to you here who are not yet a believer of Jesus Christ. The very fact you are here this morning is enabled by the sovereign, by our sovereign Lord. The Bible is very clear. The unpardonable sin is a state of continued unbelief. And to resist the conviction and willfully remain unrepentant is to blaspheme the Spirit. And there is no pardon, says Jesus, for a person who rejects the Spirit prompting to trust in Him. And the way not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit is to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. So I appeal to you, consider this seriously. Well, our grace, our Lord's grace be upon you. This is where I end. And if the Holy Spirit convicts you to respond this morning, you can come up afterwards. Our pastors and elders will pray for you. Or if you want prayers for your need or burden, also please come up. Our closing song is to be sung confidently, triumphantly, and with gusto. And let us shout to our Lord, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation and to everyone who believes." Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.